always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Why do you have a Colorado Rockies shirt on?
Because I dressed myself in the dark.
Oh, no.
So I picked out a dark shirt, and I realized it's the Rockies shirt. This is from when Kathy and I were in Denver in 95 when Coors Field opened.
Yeah, I was going to say, why do you even have one?
And I still fit in it, which is miraculous in itself.
All right.
Well, as you can see, if you're watching on video, we all dress in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
So it is what it is.
All right, Missouri voters in particular, you have experienced the presidential primary election. Now you've experienced, many of you have experienced, the caucus process, which should be used in 2028 and beyond.
What you got?
Yeah, what do you think? 314-912-1019. I mean, you can send me a message, but I'm curious, especially those of you, especially, who went to the caucuses.
Right.
I really want to know your impression. And maybe if there's a reason you didn't want to deal with the caucus, you got, I mean, but seriously, I want to know what you think on here. Because now there's a push to return Missouri back to a primary. Pros and cons of both. Let's talk about those here. By the way, our streaming app, I love that promo we've got running right now. It says, if you've got a phone, you've got a radio. Which is so true.
Yeah, it's true.
It is. So yes. Find News Talk STL. It is a free app. And it's, like I said, I've said it before, it takes up almost no memory and it streams us really well. The app that was built a few years ago has been refined and fine, is working great. So just look at that News Talk STL app and download that and you can take us anywhere you want. Okay, so there's a push in the to get lawmakers in Missouri to return the state to a primary.
Right.
The state. This was the first year. Now here, okay, so this is what's a little complicated. Here's what a lot of people don't realize, is that Missouri's actually been a caucus state.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we practiced it was that we would have the presidential preference primary, and then the caucuses would happen to select the delegates who were supposed to reflect the results of the presidential primary.
Right.
And then years and years back, generally speaking, it was the Ron Paul supporters who figured out the law doesn't actually require you to reflect the presidential primary. So they got organized. And at one point, there literally were police called because they went in to take over the caucuses and elect a slate of Ron Paul delegates, even though Ron Paul finished fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever he did in Missouri.
Right.
And there was nothing in the rules or the law against that.
Right. There's no requirement that, in order to properly reflect the will of the people, this must be done. It's, the law did not say that.
Right. And so the changes happened because a lot of people were saying, wait a minute, why is anybody allowed to come in and vote on my party's nominee?
Mm-hmm.
And so the parties were allowed to do their own thing. And so the Democratic Party of Missouri decided to do essentially a mail-in primary.
Right.
And that's their party. They're free to do it however they want. The Republicans decided to go with the caucus.
Right.
Well, you and I, for instance, Gabe, neither one of us bothered with the caucus.
No, I couldn't make it out.
However, I did not know that they would be deciding platform.
Right. There were other things associated with that meeting that was not, we were not made aware of. And the communication overall about the caucus was pretty terrible.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
You know, the St. Louis City Republicans did a really good job being aggressive, trying to tell everybody.
Yeah.
The St. Louis County was not too bad. I have a feeling that through the email list and the you know, meetings and the committees and all that kind of stuff, those people knew. But generally speaking,
overall, throughout the whole state, it was rough.
It was really rough. So let's talk about the pros and the cons here of this.
Mm-hmm.
With the primary election, it's easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you show up.
That's true.
You vote. You're done.
It works the same way as every other thing.
Right. Now, here are the cons of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in Missouri, anybody could walk in and go, yeah, I'll take a Republican ballot.
Right. You don't have to be a Republican to do it.
Right. Anybody could do it. Because up until just a year or so ago, we didn't even register by party.
Right.
Matter of fact, unless you've gone to the Secretary of State's office or your local county election board office and changed your registration, you're independent.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, the caucuses could in Missouri or, you know, Democrat or Republican, they could end up saying, are you a registered Republican or are you a registered Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
This time around, there's no way they could do that because most people didn't really know that they were not a registered Republican or Democrat.
Right.
Well, didn't folks have to sign?
No.
Paperwork?
Not when you sign up to vote. Now you can do that, but like for those of us who have been registered to vote for a long time, there was no party affiliation that you registered with when you signed up to vote in Missouri.
Yeah.
In other states, yes.
You just asked for which ballot you want.
You just asked for the ballot, but you weren't there. People would say, you know, I remember 10 years ago or so, somebody would say, well, I'm a registered Republican in the state. I'm like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a registered voter,
right.
But you're not a registered Republican.
Because we don't have that here.
Now you can register as a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian, and you can do that now. But before, up until about a year ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So for the caucuses?
So for the caucuses, basically, they had complete discretion to go, nah, yeah, you've seen your social media. You're a leftist. Get out of here. They could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't switch my registration. I'm just an independent voter like I always have been. But, you know, the Republicans like, yeah, Mike, we know you're conservative enough.
You can come on in.
You can come on in. So they may at some point, if we keep with a caucus, they may actually say, hey, the rules are you have to be a registered Republican.
Well, yes. See, the reason I'm asking is because our friends in South City had to sign. Thing when they got
when they got to the caucus.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right. No, but that's not their voter registration.
No. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, but they had to say basically, I am an actual Republican.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, for voter registration purposes. Now, So here's what we've got is a lot of confusion happened at the caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were people who were, of course, through social media, lying about saying, oh, yeah, they're eliminating the school choice platform, which was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people, you know, who were not conservatives. But then again, the Republican Party goes back and forth between being conservative and not. Unfortunately, right now, the Republican Party is moving away from conservatism, unfortunately. But then you just got the question is, what's the best way to pick a nominee? Because, for instance, you and I, Gabe, we had kind of the same thing. It's like, well, it's been decided already. The right. RNC decided who they wanted.
Yeah.
They ran off the other candidates. And so there's really no point in spending half my Saturday.
Right.
Sitting around and doing this.
Right.
That's one of the cons of a caucus. Now, here's a pro of a caucus is that you've got a much better chance of actually having people within your party making that selection.
Right. Because the danger of an open primary sort of system like we have had and would probably we're looking to go back to, it sounds like, is that when you have the case of an incumbent on the other side, they now have the ability to choose or to try to choose the opponent for their actual preferred candidate. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it would be like, okay, well, the candidate is, and it doesn't have to be statewide or it doesn't have to be national office, right? Is it going to be a caucus for...
No. For the statewide offices, it's all primary.
Okay,
Missouri.
It's all primary.
Yeah,
okay.
So this is national. Yeah, in August, when Missouri voters go to pick the nominee for governor, that's a primary, like it always has been. This only affects the presidential race.
Okay, only president. Okay, so, you know, let's say we have, you know, in some future presidential race, we have an incumbent Democrat, and there's actually a contentious Republican primary, and Missouri is going to play an important part in choosing who that candidate is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without, you know, with a sort of an open primary system, then all the Democrats is like, well, our candidate's locked up. We can choose a Republican ballot, and we can help choose maybe the weakest opponent, right, or maybe the most left opponent on the other side.
Oh, I've seen that happen in lower level races, state rep races. I've seen people say, hey, our incumbent doesn't have a challenger, or our picked candidate doesn't have a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, everybody grab the other one and vote for the schmuck.
Right.
You know, we've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that at lower levels.
Absolutely.
On Rumble here, let's see here. Ed says, no, primary only, primary brands a voter, and independent can't vote. Well, actually, independents can vote in Missouri under the old rules.
Yeah.
But what about this? To Ed's point here, what about this? What if Missouri went back to a primary system. Now, keep in mind, that's going to cost about $10 million per election cycle because the state runs the elections then at that point, whereas the caucuses, the party has the cost of that. But if you went back to the primary and said, but you can only vote with the party in which you're registered.
Yes.
Because now you can register. So if I'm in, if I'm considering myself an independent, or at one point I would have put down libertarian, I couldn't show up at the polls and say, yeah, give me a Republican or a Democrat, you know, ballot.
Right.
Because they would look and go, woo, no, you're not a registered Republican.
Yeah. Independents can't vote in primaries, essentially, right?
Well,
Under a fully registered
right,
like, because if there's only a primary, or if there's only a Democrat or Republican primary and you're registered independent, you wouldn't be able to get the, one of those ballots under that system, right?
Under that system.
Yeah, but under that system.
For instance, in August, though, it doesn't matter. If you changed your registration to Democrat, you can still walk in and they'll say which ballot, and you can grab a Republican one if you want in Missouri for, you know, governor, lieutenant governor, et cetera.
And that's the system we have now.
That's the system we have right now. But in the presidential race, it's a little trickier because, you know, the easy thing to do is just say, we'll just put it all in the same one. But states want to have an early say.
Right.
So a presidential primary, which was in March. If we did the primary in March, you know that's the date. But should we go with the caucus system or the primary system?
Yeah.
I think there's pros and cons with both.
Yes, I think so as well.
You know, I get that the Republican Party says, no. We want to decide for ourselves who the nominee is going to be. And if we had the old system where the caucuses had to reflect the presidential primary results, I don't know that we would have had the same kind of evolution of change on this. But a primary system is, well, if you don't like it, then campaign harder.
Right.
You know, win over the independent voters to come vote on your side, all that kind of stuff. And then there's the question of who pays for it. Primary system, the state does.
That's
it's an election.
One. Yeah.
Caucus system, the parties have to do it themselves. What do you think?
There's a lot to it. I probably would just want a primary system or a vote as opposed to a caucus, just because of the convenience factor. Although
now, should you be registered with that party to be able to vote?
I do think you have to register with the party.
Maybe that's the compromise then.
Yeah, I'm 110% primary.
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
I like the primaries better. I think there is something nostalgic and organic about a caucus if they're done right, because there were a lot of disasters around the state.
Yeah, we heard some of the stories.
Keep in mind, though, this was the first time that it was done this way. So there's going to be some growing pains.
Later. Sure.
What do you think? 314-912-1019.
Or a side question. Do we give the caucus another chance before we make a decision?
What I'm seeing so far on Rumble is people are saying, I like the primary. That's what we're seeing. So will lawmakers make that change? Well, I don't think they're going to do it this year, but they might next year. So we'll see.
Maybe we'll take a vote on it. Now, is that going to be a primary?
See, that's a caucus. That's right.
And bring some caulk with you.
That's right.
We've got to put this thing together.
Yeah. Interesting comments. Keep them coming on social media, everybody. All right, just ahead. Anti-Semitism leads to a change in a city ordinance. Here in the St. Louis area. I'll tell you about that right around 7:21.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Is a curious thing. Just got a request for Flashback Friday.
I did too. Go ahead and...
Duran Duran.
Okay.
Didn't specify a song, but Jay Monty says, hey, there's an 80s flashback song. How about some Duran Duran?
All right. There we go. We'll do that.
Received. Message received, Jay Monty. Thank you so much. Gotcha. He sent that to us on Rumble.
Which one did you get, Stel?
Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, no kidding. Mm. West End Girls?
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Yep. And then, of course, there's this one that's currently playing, which is so nostalgic for me because it's associated with Back to the Future for me. So I'm just, you know.
That's right.
Let's see here. The anti-Semitism in one area city results in a change to their law. Mm-hmm. This is interesting because we were telling you about the crime a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
By the way, also still ahead here. Speaking of another area, they passed the law but won't implement it. Could that be because it benefits people and not government?
That's probably part of it.
Yeah, we've got the update on that at 7:35. Okay, so Maplewood makes a change to their hate crime ordinance.
Right.
Let me just tell you up front, I've got some mixed feelings on this. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's in response to the anti-Semitic vandalism and theft that we were telling you about earlier this week. There's a family in Maplewood, and they put displaying an Israeli flag, and they've got a display of the photos of the hostages that are known to have been taken by Hamas. Mm-hmm. I drove by it again. I know which house this is because mm-hmm. it's not that far from me.
Right.
And I'm in Richmond Heights, so right next to Maplewood. And somebody has been stealing the flags and defacing the flags. There has been one person arrested. They believe there's a second suspect that they are looking for as well. There was caught on video. Mm-hmm. And so the city has a hate crime ordinance where the fines and the, you know, incarceration in city jail and stuff is more if they determine that you were thinking even worse when you committed the crime. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, punching somebody in the mouth is a crime.
Right.
Because you punch them in the mouth.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
But if you punch them in the mouth because you don't like A, B, C, or D about them, well, mm-hmm. that's different because now it's you punch them in the mouth and you had wrong think.
Right. And I hate that, by the way.
And it is wrong think if you look at somebody and go, hey, you're whatever race. Mm-hmm. You're white. You're black. You're Hispanic. You're Asian. I'm going to punch you in the mouth because I don't like the white people or black people or Asian people or Hispanic people. Okay. So they're saying, well, that's a higher level of a crime because of your mindset and your thinking.
Right.
That's where I've got the mixed feelings on this.
Yes.
Okay. Stealing this family's flag and defacing and vandalizing their property is a crime.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Right. And that's then somebody's being prosecuted for that.
Good.
So what they're realized is that stealing as a hate crime wasn't included in the law. So they made a minor change to their hate crime law and included stealing
right.
in that to be covered. So because somebody went up and stole their Israeli flag, that's theft. Mm-hmm. But now they're saying because it's anti-Semitic in nature, well, now it's a hate crime theft.
Right. So now one of the things about hate crimes to begin with is that it's trying to punish motive, which I think is it feels silly to me because why is one motive worse than uh-huh. another motive? It's like I stole from you because I envied you and I want your stuff. Is pretty bad to begin with, to
right?
Me. Now everybody say, "Well, I stole from you because you're a black guy and you shouldn't have a car like that." Okay, right. But ultimately, you still envied me and you wanted to take my stuff. That's right. Actually the motivation. So the enhancement idea that okay, well, this makes it worse and therefore it must be punished more to begin with is it's going down a wrong track for me. But then you add the idea that, you know, the overall idea, you pull out even further, 30,000 foot view, and like you said, Mike, it becomes a wrong think. Thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, well, what else classifies as a wrong think motivation?
Yeah, don't think for a minute that this is going to end up being targeted towards people on the left overall.
Sure.
It's just not.
Oh, yeah.
So the good news is that Maplewood, which is a very far left fringe community, mm-hmm. And that's just for whatever reason, people have settled in there and they are leftist for the most part. I've got some friends in Maplewood who are not, but they are well understand they're outnumbered.
Yeah.
On there. And it's sort of that hippie sort of leftism.
Hippie as opposed to Champagne?
Yeah, that's Webster Groves.
Webster Groves is the Champagne.
They're more the academic and Champagne one.
Okay.
Richmond Heights, where I live, is more of the kind of liberal, you know, limousine liberal sort of
okay, all right.
leftist. We're all outnumbered in this part of the county. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
So the good news is that Maplewood surprised me by responding to anti-Semitism.
Yes, to begin with.
Right.
Because as a concept, anti-Semitism seems to be being embraced on the left. Yeah. That is surprising.
That's the good news.
Yes.
I'm glad to see that happened.
Yeah, it's a happy surprise.
Here's the mixed feelings I've got on it. Like you were just saying, is that at this point, we're not punishing actions. Mm-hmm. We're not prosecuting actions. We're prosecuting thought.
Right.
And this is the beef that I've got with hate crime laws altogether. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely not supportive of the so-called trans movement ideology. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no such thing as transgender, which, by the way, my just saying that on the radio mm-hmm. Literally would be considered a hate crime by many people on the left if they had their way.
In the UK,
I was just going to say
you might be investigated. Somebody will show up at your house.
In Canada, I could be arrested. Just said
violation of the Human Rights Council. Yeah. I think
in Scotland, now with their new law, I could be arrested.
Oh, yeah.
For what I just said on the radio. I do not believe that there is any such thing as transgender.
Right.
Okay, so that's in some places is you know that. Now, having said that, does that give me the right to go see a dude in a dress who's just walking around? Does that give me the right to go up and punch him in the face?
No.
No. Does that give me the right to slash his tires?
No.
Does that give me the right to throw paint on his house?
No. Or steal anything from him or anything.
Yeah. Or his
rainbow flag
or his whatever his flag is.
Intersectional flag.
Whatever. Whatever it is.
Weird colors.
So no, because the actions are what would be prosecuted because the actions are what violates his rights. My thoughts don't violate his rights.
Right. Right.
That's why I've got the mixed feelings on this.
The ideological distinction, I mean, or not, I won't say ideological, I'll say the philosophical distinction between when rights are violated and when they are not, I think is at the heart of this. And you hit the nail on the head. You articulated it better than I was when I was talking about why I have such a problem with the wrong thing being part of the equation. It's that, like you said, the purpose of government is to defend individual rights. That's the absolute only purpose. That's the only reason why we have to deal with government is that we have God-given rights. And if we're going to live together with other people with God-given rights, occasionally our rights are going to bump against one another, and we need some method by which to adjudicate that. So government steps in. They say, hey, you can swing your fists however you like, but when you hit that guy in the face, you violated his rights. Now we're going to step in and provide the punishment, the rules, and we're going to enforce those rules. If you say now, okay, well, you hit him because you thought something wrong and we're going to punish that too. Now you've added a step. You've added another idea. Now what happens if you say, well, you didn't hit him, but you expressed wrong thing. You expressed the same sort of wrong thing that would get punished if you did hit him. Do we punish the wrong thing now on its own? Because you accepted that it's punishable by accepting the idea of a hate crime. You accepted that concept. That's the slippery, we're making a slippery slope argument, really. That's really what it's about.
Well, and to some degree, but the other thing is,
well, history has shown just that it's not a fallacy, by the way.
Something based on thought.
Yeah.
I mean, which is what a hate crime legislation is. It's prosecuting thought.
Yes, yes. Actually, the actual means by which it comes about, where you have to prove, right? Because it's punishable, because wrong think is punishable in the case that you actually committed an act based on the wrong think. Now, we've adjudicated how you prove wrong think. So now those two things exist. Wrong think exists, punishment for wrong things exists, and also the method by which we prove that the wrong think is should have happened and is punishable.
So even a good motivation, which responding to anti-Semitism is a good motivation.
Sure.
But even a good motivation can result in giving government too much power to get out of its lane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Why can't we all just enjoy the power of love?
Right? Yeah.
No, I mean, it is. But again, when I saw that, I'm like, wow, they moved really fast on that. One, be careful moving really fast on any laws. But man, a far left city like Maplewood actually stood against anti-Semitism. That was a pleasant surprise too. So, but still,
there are pros and there are cons and with that story.
And when is all this stuff going to bump up against the First Amendment?
Oh God!
It's already crashed first into it.
Yeah,
without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, just ahead here, St. Louis County, seniors in St. Louis County are supposed to get that property tax freeze. It's the law. It was passed like 6 months ago.
Yeah, do the thing.
But they're not doing the thing.
Well, why aren't they doing the thing, Mike?
We're going to find out in 3 minutes on 101.9 94.1 Newstalk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Okay, so some in St. Louis County's government are still dragging their feet in implementing a tax break for seniors, even though that's the law now in the county and has been for months. So let's get an update on that. And when I say some people, I mean Sam Page. Also, you know what? I'm not just talking about politics for this one. Let me set it up this way here, but just ahead here. What are the things in life that we deal with that are just annoying?
Oh, so many. So many things.
I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about politicians, okay? Mm-hmm. I have the top 10 list of things that annoy us. I'm going to read off some of those at 7:50. But tell me now. I'll watch Rumble. You guys watch the other ones. What are the things that just annoy you?
Is there a wives list and a husbands list?
There is not broken down to that, but that would be an interesting one, too. These are just like things in life.
Okay.
Because my wife would just write, Mike. Well, she would write Michael, because that's Michael.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Michael.
All right. In St. Louis County, we got a lot of ground to cover here. Mm-hmm. A lot of things happening. County Councilman Dennis Hancock joins us right now. And Dennis, I want to get to some of the other things as far as, like, you know, the new county seat building, the Sam Page wants, and all that kind of stuff. But let me start with this seniors tax freeze. You all passed this into law last year to where you adopted what the state allows to freeze property taxes for seniors who meet certain guidelines. And still all these months later, it's not into place. Upwards of 900,000 seniors, homeowners, are expected to qualify for this, but they still have to pay the increased taxes this year because it's not been implemented. Where are we in that debate? Because I'm just going to tell you my bias right up front. Sam Page's claims of needing, you know, millions of dollars and dozens of employees to enact this just make no sense to me whatsoever. So where are we with getting something in place to where, you know, the seniors in St. Louis County can get a little bit of relief here?
Well, the short answer is next Tuesday. We have a bill before us. Last night, we tried to advance the bill to final pass it, and three members, it took a unanimous vote to do that, and three members, Clancy, Dunaway, and Trakas, voted not to advance it. So wait another week.
Ernie didn't vote for it?
That's correct.
What?
It's been, as you alluded to, it's been an interesting couple of weeks watching this evolve. The initial bill that Councilman Trakas introduced was for $1.7 million, which would have not only funded the senior tax program, but it would have also restored all of the funding cuts that the council made last year for the 2024 budget. He knew that wasn't going to pass, so he prepared two subsequent bills that were slightly smaller, but both of them would have essentially done the same thing, which would have been to restore the cuts that were made. We have the bill that's in front of us, which is my bill, will fund 9 positions in the Department of Revenue, plus buy the software that's needed to implement the program for the rest of this year. Like I said, next Tuesday will be the final vote on that. I believe we have the votes to pass it, and so then it's up to the administration to do the work and actually get the program implemented.
Good morning, Dennis. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So how soon do you think then this relief will come to homeowners?
Well, part of my bill, it extends the sign-up period to start on July 1st of this year and run through the end of June next year. So everybody, and the initial sign-up period will be a full year. That way, anyone who turns 67 during that period of time can sign up on their birthday and take advantage of the program. Keep in mind that next year is the next reassessment period. Mm-hmm. So the increases this year will be minor at best, and I think that for most people there won't be an increase at all.
Yeah, when you look at the Page administration, for instance, dragging their feet, that just gives more time for those assessments to go up. So even if they get locked in, for some people, they're locked in at a rate that could be higher than it was the year before. We're visiting with Dennis Hancock from the St. Louis County Council. Dennis, just as most people do, treat me like I'm dumb, okay, on this, seriously.
As most people do.
Why does it cost $1 million and need a dozen people or more to implement a change? Changes are made in tax codes all the time, and it doesn't cost, you know, hundreds of thousands or $1 million to implement. And you don't understand, you know, buying some extra software or something like that. But why are we talking about 9, 10, 12 in the Page administration's case, over 24 employees to implement this one thing? That makes no sense to me. Can you dumb down that debate enough even for me?
Well, I can tell you, you know, that I don't understand why they think it's going to take that many people either. You know, we've had meetings with the Director of Revenue, and he's estimated that it's going to take about 15 minutes for every transaction to go to verify the records, make sure that what people have submitted is the correct records, that they're in the right format, and the forms are filled out correctly. So if you do the math for the rest of this year, that doesn't come out to two dozen people. That comes out to less than 10. And that's if everybody signs up on day one. Like I said, extending this for a year should, you know, take the urgency out of people signing up on day one, and it should spread it out. But we've allowed for 9 people, which when you look at, compare that to St. Charles County, where they've hired 1 extra person, and St. Louis City, where they've hired 2, and we're, 4 times larger than the city. So we're approximately the same number of people that the city has hired to implement their program. I think what we're really going to find is that the actual numbers, that they're estimating is well over 100,000 seniors are going to be taking advantage of it in St. Louis County. My math says it's probably going to be closer to between 40 and 50.
Yeah. I mean, the counties around the state, they haven't had the same dire predictions about it's going to cost all this. It seems to be only in St. Louis County where there's obstruction from the administrative side of things, or am I reading that wrong? Because I don't see it anywhere else in the state.
No, you're reading it exactly right. And, what's interesting is to keep in mind, the county executive didn't sign the bill that we passed back in October. Mm-hmm. He let it go into law. So he has shown absolutely no leadership on this whatsoever. He hasn't come out either for it or against it. And when asked about it, you get some wishy-washy, well, we'll have to see if this is enough to do it. Well, make it enough to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to do it, it'll get done. And that's, I just hope that, come 2026, when the county executive is up for reelection, that people remember this and vote accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe again, we need to dumb it down for Mike to the Mike level here. But when you're elected county executive, isn't that your job to execute the laws passed by the legislative branch? I mean, isn't that literally what he's paid to do?
It is. That's exactly right. And we're all supposed to work together as 3, co-equal independent branches of government. But we get no direction from the county executive unless he wants to do something like build a new building for $500 million. Yeah. we're handed this stack of things to vote on, like hiring a consultant to direct an education campaign, so the voters will understand why it's important for them to vote for a $600 million tax increase.
Yeah.
Well, let's decide if we're going to build a building before we start educating the voters about why they should vote a certain way.
And don't forget the change to the county seal. That was very, very important. It had to be implemented across all platforms and all your forms. I'm sure that didn't cost anything, right?
It was only $90,000 to design the logo.
right, to design the logo. That's right.
Which AI could have done in 30 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Talking about that for a minute, when you look at it, why are we rebranding ourselves? Are we competing? Businesses rebrand themselves because their competition has changed something. Who are we competing with? Mm-hmm. And that's the same logic behind a new building. They want to spend a huge amount of money for a building, probably more than any corporate headquarters has spent in St. Louis in decades. But we're going to spend more to build a building that I've taken to calling it a monument to government. Mm. Why are we doing that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask about that as well, Dennis. We're just about out of time here. But, that push is so odd to me, considering there's a $40+ million hole in the budget that the county is already spending tens of millions of dollars more than what it's bringing in. And then to bring on something to say we're going to spend, $500-600 million on a county seat government, that's just beyond insane to me.
Yeah. And, last week, we did a resolution that I introduced to get bids to put in the sprinklers that will bring us up to code compliance with the city of Clayton. Prior to, in the last 9 years, nobody's gotten bids to do that. And it just seems to me that's a logical first step. in this process. Let's see what it's going to cost us to become compliant. And if it's a reasonable amount of money, let's do that. And then use that to buy us time to decide what we really need to do with the building we're in. You know, I don't think anybody's going to argue that the building that we're in is ugly and that it, you know, needs to be refurbished. It needs some new paint, maybe some new furniture, but it doesn't need to be replaced. Structurally, the building is sound. It's just, you know, when you don't maintain a building for years, it starts to have problems, and that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, and parts of it smell funny too. All right, Dennis Hancock.
Just on the ninth floor.
Dennis Hancock from the St. Louis County Council. Hey, thanks for the update. I really appreciate it. Let's do this again soon.
Thanks so much, sir.
Sounds good, Mike. Thank you very much.
All right, just ahead here, 314-912-1019. What are the things that we deal with that are really annoying? I'm getting some of these coming in on Rumble right now, and actually one of them, Buckley, hang on, if you're still watching this on Rumble, what you just put on is actually near the top of the list for what we're finding. We're annoyed three times a day on average, guys.
Three times? Only three?
Yeah, that's average.
Sorry, that's me.
Bilbo Bot, I will tell you that you are correct. I am annoyed that the Cardinals lost 14-1.
That is correct.
That's not on the list, but you're absolutely right about that. We are more annoyed daily now than we used to be. I'll tell you what annoys us just ahead. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, are you annoyed?
Always.
See, like right now?
That's actually an accurate answer for most Americans.
Yeah, right now. I think there's always something annoying going on. It depends on how much you got in your tank, how much you can tolerate it, and it not bother you. I think that's really the, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Buzz off. Yeah.
I just annoyed Stella right there.
And on average, according to the surveys, we are more annoyed daily now than we used to be. Maybe we're more high strung.
Yeah. I think expectations plays into that.
I think also
social media.
Social media, and I think we tend to be more selfish.
Yes,
as
that's
well.
True. That's true.
I'm getting some interesting comments on Rumble here as well.
I'll also argue population density has a lot to do with it. If you have to deal with more people, there's more opportunities, therefore, to become annoyed with other people.
That makes sense.
Okay. By the way here, just ahead, a federal agency decides to ban non-compete agreements as part of your employment contract. Good idea, bad idea? Tell me what you think about that at 8:05.
I'm thinking a bit of both.
A lot of layers to this. Yeah. I'm talking about that, though. Okay, so the recent survey says 2/3 of us feel more annoyed by something these days than in the past. Mm-hmm. How about this? 45% of us say that we cannot remember the last time that we went a full day, 24 hours, without being annoyed by something.
That's true.
We're annoyed three times a day.
I think the last time I went a full day without being annoyed by something, I was a child.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about politics and stuff here. That's not what I'm talking about.
Sure.
What are some of the things that just, you know, just get that out of you?
St. Louis drivers.
Okay, interesting.
Like almost period. Yep. All of them. Yep.
Well, you took that one away from me.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so I guess mine would be two phrases that just drive me nuts. People who say like and you know in every sentence.
Like 45 times a second?
Something like that.
The fillers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as we call them in the radio business, crutches.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's crutches. True. That's right. Let's see here. Buckley on Rumble says, road work that blocks off entire lanes for months or years, and you only ever see two or three people working.
Oh, my gosh.
So true.
Why is that true?
So true.
What are they building?
Bilbo,
or not building.
Yeah, Bilbo Bot said, now, like, for instance, remember last week, there was on the bridge right by the stadium, 6440, they had the bridge was down to like one lane.
On the Poplar Street Bridge?
On the Poplar Street Bridge, because they were doing repairs on part of the interstate. So you were being diverted off to Illinois 3 down to Sauget, and you had to turn around and go back around.
Oh, jeez.
That was a couple days, and it was done. It was clear the other day.
Wow.
So it was like 3-4 days, and that was it.
So it's entirely possible that you can go in, build, do something, whatever, repair something, and then get out.
Okay, so Bilbo Bot says potholes.
Oh, they're so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a section of street near my house that I basically can't avoid.
Yeah.
And it's just a constant rumble of going over various bumps and mess up things in the road.
Laura says, when people do not understand how to use a roundabout or don't pull forward into an intersection when turning left at a stoplight.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there's an accumulation of traffic violations, I think, that St. Louis drivers commit every single day.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Including the running the red lights thing.
Yeah.
I see almost daily you see mm-hmm. it.
So here are the things that annoy people here, and I've got time to read this. The number 10, the last person in the bathroom uses up the toilet paper and doesn't replace the roll.
Come on, man.
Yeah, preach it.
Let's see here. When somebody could hold the door for you but does not.
Oh. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Now sometimes there's a timing issue. Sometimes there's a timing. It's like, you need to be within 3 steps of me. I'm not standing there like a doorman. If I am, I might hold my hand out and wait for my tip.
And if it's a stranger, you don't get a thank you. Yeah, that kind of bugs me a
that's
little bit.
Yeah, that, even if you do hold the door. Yeah. Or if you hold the door in front of a crowd and you're like 6 people in before you get back.
Okay, this one's going to make somebody mad.
Okay.
But this is just on the list.
All right.
Bicyclists who hog the road.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
A bicyclist is really mad. Like, we have a right to be there. We're going to go our 15 miles an hour. And
go on the side.
slow walkers when you're in a hurry, mm-hmm. when you cannot remember a password. Bad parkers who take up more than one space.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. People who don't use turn signals. I think Laura said something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Being stuck on hold. Potholes, number 2. And when somebody doesn't clean up after their dog is number 1.
That's it.
Yep.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.